I'm glad that you want to talk about the tribute to Ian Humboldt last night, because I've still got one more clip I want to play from one of the parents. I'll do that later on. I'll do that after three. Scott Thomas, one of the parents that spoke last night. And I know you wrote something on Facebook. What did you want to say? I can't imagine. Listen, it's difficult to lose somebody, but I can't imagine the pain that a parent feels when they lose a child.
Absolutely. When you ask anybody about their worst nightmare or the worst possible thing that can happen, it would be to lose one of your children, right? Mm-hmm. It's painful losing a parent, but that's sort of the natural order of things is to know.
Yeah.
But nobody's,
you know, at some point that's going to happen.
But we just aren't supposed to have to bury our children, right?
Yeah.
And so not only was Humboldt really affected by it, but so many across the country and across the world were affected by it too.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I loved was the fact that so often in grief, it's very vulnerable to grieve, and it's so painful to grieve that often people kind of close in and they shell off and they kind of don't want other people to see their ugly cry, and it's really hard to share grief. And yet when you are invited in to somebody's grief and are allowed to grieve with them, to grieve for them, to grieve alongside them, there's something pretty powerful about that. And it changes the way... it changes the way we are allowed to be as well, right?
Yeah.
And Humboldt took the very brave step of saying, we're going to let this be on TV and we're going to share this moment with others. We're going to let people in because other people were also affected by this.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to go in this together. We're not going to hide ourselves off and do this privately. And I think it took a lot of courage to do that. But I also think it was really moving and very powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And it just is I don't know that there's such a thing as healthy grief, because that implies there's unhealthy grief and people are just trying to make it through the best they can.
Mm.
But I think they've given us a really good model of how you let yourselves feel the sadness. You don't try to talk yourself out of it. You don't minimize the pain. You don't pretend it's all okay. It is not okay over there.
Yeah.
And yesterday was an opportunity to say that. But even though it's not okay, they're still going back to regular routine and regular structure, because that's one of the ways we get through grief, is to go back to what we know.
Mm-hmm.
And hockey is what Humboldt knows.
Yeah.
But they didn't play that game like spring never happened. They spent time at the beginning of the game acknowledging and honoring the accident victims, and had parents contribute. Like, that's really powerful to have a parent being willing to contribute to the opening ceremonies and to be able to speak.
Yeah. I thought you were done. What I liked about it is that it was all around a hockey game. They got right back at it, right?
Yes.
You know, which I think was really important too.
Yes, there's this sort of the both and. We're not going to pretend we're not sad, but we're also not going to be only sad. We're going to acknowledge that hockey has joy and they're going to play hard and they're going to give it their all.
Yeah.
And we're going to celebrate that we can still play hockey together even though we're sad. And so there's this both and. They didn't have to choose to ignore it or to cancel the game.
Yeah.
They could have the game and be sad and then also play hard and enjoy the evening for what it was.
Yeah. And now it will be interesting, because the Broncos will take that road to Nipawin to play there tonight. And you can only imagine what that's going to be like, passing that spot.
Absolutely. And if you think people aren't aware of that as it's approaching, right, they are absolutely going to be aware of it. And yet, that's a part of resuming life with the whole in the life, is to say, how are we going to do hard things and how are we going to feel these feelings and get through them and get to the other side? Because that is a part of healing, not to pretend it didn't happen, but to move on in light of the fact that it has happened and life goes on.
Yeah. You kind of referred to this already, but I'll ask you the question that was in my mind before you said it. Is there a right and a wrong way to grieve? I really, you know, people say, well, everybody grieves differently.
Mm-hmm.
And that's certainly true. If you were to give advice about grieving, if somebody can try and get there and do it the way that they should or that might be most helpful for them, what is that way? Is there a right way?
Well, I think grieving, like I said before, is vulnerable. And I think we are wired for connection. And that is just as true when we're grieving. And so often when people are grieving, they want to be by themselves and they hide off. And there's this natural tendency to pull in when you're grieving. And I think it's helpful for people to see and say, how can I allow other people into my life? How can I allow other people to care for me? How can I let them in? Because as hard as it is, it's even harder to shut people out. And everybody's a little bit different. And I think another part of grieving is to say, what do I need right now, right? When a friend comes and says, I want to take you out for coffee, probably you want to say no. And maybe it is right sometimes to say no because you really do need to stay home. Mm-hmm. But maybe sometimes it's important to let your friend talk you into it. Yeah. And so it's about being honest with yourself rather than just going to some of the default strategies you do when you're really stressful. And a lot of us, when we are sad, we don't want to be with others. And yet when we have been with others when we're sad, it's a little less worse.